Radio.
Depression and Anxiety, a presentation by John Poon from the Finding Your Calcutta 2016 retreat, organized by St. Rafka Youth.
Thank you. How are you? So I'm very happy to come here to meet you all. I just returned from China. After my tour, I taught pastoral psychology there in different seminaries. And this time I have a job to teach nuns. The nuns are like angels with me for a few weeks. In China, there's no foreign missionaries. All the foreign missionaries were expelled from China. The latest around 1953. So one particular nun left behind. She was in her 30s. All the nuns returned to Europe. She left behind. She was feeding pigs, you know, doing some ordinary things. But now, in her congregation, she has over 40 nuns, all make her final vows already. So I met five different congregations of nuns from different parts of China. The goal of the meeting was to help them to understand depression and anxiety. But they spent weeks doing that. Because in China, the education system is very bad, very poor. Same as the medical care system. People need to go to see a doctor. They have a prescription. They get medications for the moods, but never have counseling. So in the hospital, they have to pay a lot of money to get treatment. So no one will get any treatment in depression and anxiety in China. No one. So they will go to oppose the Buddhist monks, priests and nuns, talk about their problems. So the priests and nuns said, we don't know how to handle it. We need some help. So I went there to teach them the basic understanding of depression and anxiety so that they can help other people. Now, in some city, stress level is very high. There's a lot of corruptions there. They need to pay a lot of money to pay the teachers. In those major festivals, you have to give money to the teacher. Now, we kind of accept it in the Western world, but in China, this is part of the custom. You don't give the work packet with money to the teacher would put your son and daughter with a group of naughty students behind in a corner. The lessons start at 7 o'clock in the morning, finish at 9 o'clock at night. In the morning, go to school, they have a long lunch break, and also they don't teach you anything unless you pay extra money for public tuition in the teacher's home. This is what they're doing. So parents have no influence on the children. So that's a lot of stress, a lot of stress. So parents need to get a lot of money to pay. So in some shopping centers, some priests told me the shopping center approached them. I would like to have a free counseling room, reconciliation room. And they put it there, free of charge. We just want a priest to come and talk to us. They're longing for a priest's presence in China. We're looking for a priest to come and talk to us. The priest said, why not the Buddhists? We found that the priests in the Catholic Church are more intelligent, more educated. You know, some Buddhists, they approach monks for depression and anxiety, but they do not understand the basic thing. So the priests agree. So they have a very beautiful reconciliation room in the middle of the shopping center. They said reconciliation because the people know that it's confidential. Talking to the priest. So priests will take turn now on Saturday. A couple hours sitting down there waiting for people to come. Of course, they are not Catholics, but just have a chat. So they need some skill and technologies, how to deal with it. Now, this is what happened in China. Now, the way I would talk about depression and anxiety. Now, what is depression? Depression, in generally, it is our backward looking, focusing on ourselves by adding more negative to it. This is depression. Depression is always backward looking, self-focused, by adding more negative to it. Now, for example, our Lord healed 10 lepers. Only one returned to give thanks to him. Our Lord said, why? How come I healed 10? Only one returned and give thanks to me. Our Lord doesn't need our thanks, isn't it? He can survive without our thanks. But thanksgiving, our grateful heart, is to heal our depressed spirit. Look at this man who has been deprived from relationships for years. You know, at that time, lepers will be living far away from their communities. They may not have their wife, children around them, family around them. So even though they physically were healed, but the heart has not been healed. The healing of a heart, especially depressed mood, is gratitude. Being grateful to what happened to you is to heal your mood. So our Lord is not looking for people to praise Him. Our Lord is said, and a grateful heart is good for your spirit, good for your moods. Make sense to you? So I wonder these nine people who did not return to give thanks to our Lord, I think they will be healed physically. But the mood, the spirit has not been healed. Make sense to you? So depression is always backward looking. Oh, the good old day, you know, I miss this, you know. Always backward looking. Self-focus by letting more negative to it. This is depression. But what about anxiety? Anxiety is always forward looking. Self-focus, external focus, by adding more negative to it. Oh, they are no good, you know, my future is no good. Adding more negative to it. Our Lord said, live in the present. If you plow the land and keep looking back, you are not fit to be my disciples, isn't it? So if you drive a car, keep looking at the back mirror, you have a car accident. You don't keep looking back, look forward. So people with depression and anxiety have one common ground, which is their expectations and performance. People with depression normally focus on a high ideal, what they cannot do. Their performance is less than their expectations. So the gap between what they expect they can do and the actual performance will cause them to have frustrations. These frustrations turn inward. I'm no good. I'm not good enough. I'm a failure. This kind of self-concept, when repeated over and over again, can become our self-definitions. So our expectation of our performance and our actual performance need to match the gap. We need to lower our expectation ourselves and improve our performance at the same time. Carl Walsh has a beautiful model. Our real self is who we are as a person. Next one is the possible self. Who am I possible to become? And the other one is the ideal self. It's a big ideal self. But sometimes we want to be the ideal self right away. That's creating these kind of discrepancies, frustrations to self. It's called depression. St. Therese Lisieux said, I love my weaknesses. Because my weaknesses is a shortcut pathway to the heart of Jesus. I love to remain small. Love your real self. Look at the Republican at the back. I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy. You know, I've done all these bad things. The person at the front, the Pharisees, look, I'm not like those Pharisees. I'm not like other people. I fast and pray. So he's using the ideal self to judge other people. At the back, the person said, I'm a sinner. I'm real. Being real is very important in our spirituality, being real. Sometimes we expect too much of ourselves, being impatient. That causing depression. I want this to happen. I want that to happen. So our Lord always answers prayers. St. Therese said, either on earth or in heaven. So it's the timing depends not on us, on God. Sometimes when we plan something, we said, is this mine? Is it multiple? Okay, drink it. Sometimes when we plant something there, we keep, oh yeah, how come? It's still not going. Put it back. How come? You know? So we upset ourselves. Be impatient. St. Therese said to us, we need to be patient with Jesus. Jesus is in the same boat with us. Sometimes He allows the storm to happen. We pray, nothing happened. But the Lord is there. He's not reacting. He's there with us. He's not responding. But don't panic. He's there with you. I will never abandon you, my people. I have carved you on the palms of my hand. This is Isaiah 49. I know a Jesuit. When he studied this passage, he said, look, I don't understand this. Professor, is this carved means tattoo? Professor said, no. Jewish people never tattoo. Carved does not mean tattoo. This professor come back next morning. He said, look, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. After you asked me this question, this professor said, I called my friend who is a specialist in Isaiah 49, who is a Jewish rabbi, got PhD in Isaiah. So I asked him a question. I have carved you on the palm of my hand. What does it mean? My student just said tattoo. And then you know what this professor said? He is a well-known expert in Isaiah. Anyhow, even the Pope Vatican asked him what it means, huh? In Isaiah, in Old Testament. I study theology. But the Old Testament, the Jewish people would teach you more than the Catholics. Because this is a history. Now, this is what the Jewish rabbi said in Jerusalem. He said, this word and half is actually mean tattoo. But it's shocking him. He looked at the root, it's tattoo. But how could we Israelites do not tattoo? It means that you are fixed in my hand. You are carved on the palm of my hand. Wherever you are, I am, and all will be well. You stand on the ground. The ground you stand on is actually my hand wherever you are. This is very powerful. He said, I have carved you on the palm of my hand. Do not be afraid. Our Lord has spoken many times, do not be afraid. Pope John Paul II, the first word he said after he is being selected Pope was, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid has been said 365 times in Old and New Testament. Must be very important for us. So, depression is backward-looking, focusing on ourselves, but adding more to it. Being impatient, frustrated. St. Teresa said, when the Lord is quiet, don't wake him up. Just be at peace. She said, my trust in Jesus will draw upon me divine graces. This is my experience. My prayer and sacrifice, says St. Therese, is my invincible arm. They are my invincible arms that can move hearts far more effective than words. John Paul II has canonized more saints than his others and any other pope add together. But he only named one doctor of the church, which is St. Therese. She was only 24 years old when she died. When I was 24, I think God, when I look back, God inspired me to do a thesis on her, on mystical theology. Because at that time, I was lazy. I said, look, I better select her because it will be easy to do. Only one book, a few letters, two volume letter. But gosh, it's so difficult. Because the thesis was to prove that she was a mystic. So when John Paul II named me as the doctor of the church, I was so happy. I was so happy. When I was 24, I was so immature. Even now. But she's become doctor of the church. What's her secret? Her secret lies in the definition of holiness. I've never heard such a good definition of holiness. This is what she said. Holiness has nothing to do with this or that pious practice. Remember, holiness has nothing to do with this or that pious practice. Don't think that you do this and that, you're holy. Never. What's holiness? Holiness has to do with disposition of heart, which make us humble and small in the arms of God. Second one. Fully conscious of our witness, fully conscious witnesses, but yet very confident, very, very confident in the goodness of God the Father. These five aspects of definitions of holiness is so, so perfect. Don't think that you have done that, you're holy. Never. Sometimes, be depressed before that. We wish you have done that. But no. It's not what you do. It's what I do. My Jesus said this beautifully. What you say is not important, but what God says to you and through you is important. Mother Jesus said, what you do is not important, but what God do to you, does to you, and does through you is important. So it's not what you do. St. Paul said, you stupid. You go to do business this day, that day, but have you asked our Lord? I will go to do business that way. No, you have to ask our Lord. Ask Him. Lord, should I do this? Am I inspired by you to do this? Just ask the question. But I haven't heard Him. St. Teresa, I never heard Jesus speaking to me once, but I know He's guiding me every step of my life. Just ask. He will guide you by the hand. Our Lord always listens because He loves you. Just ask, Lord, should I do this? Either you have inspiration or something happened will guide you. You have to believe in that. I will never forget you, my people. I've enclaved you on the palms of my hand. So what is depression? Now, a lot of people, I'll go back to St. Therese later on. Huh? Nothing to do with this that practice. It has to do with disposition of heart, which make us humble and small in the arms of God. She said, nothing will make you frightened anymore. Even the thing of the worst possible crime. I simply throw them like drops of water in the furnace fire to be consumed. I throw myself into the arms of Jesus, and Jesus' arm is a lift that will lift me up. I find it hard to struggle to climb up, but all of a sudden, I find that I am now in His arm. His arm is a lift, lifting me to God the Father. Isn't that beautiful? Just abandon yourself in His arm. What is cheerfulness? In depression, people are not cheerful. Am I correct? What is cheerfulness? I can't say Jose Maria, very good definition. He said, the foundation of cheerfulness is on our total abandonment in the loving arms of God. Your total abandonment in the loving arms of God depending on your cheerfulness. So you're not cheerful. You're not cheerful at all. Perhaps you have not totally and fully abandoned yourself in loving arms of God. This is indicator. So, abandonment of ourselves in loving arms of God. Fully conscious of weaknesses. Yes, I'm sinful. I'm weak. But yet, very confident in the goodness of God the Father. But being conscious of weaknesses, but not depressed. Yes, I'm a sinner, but you don't blame yourself. I'm no good, I'm to be condemned, I'm a failure, I'm not lovable, I'm not likable, no one loves me anymore. You know, you don't say this to yourself. We are the light of the world, salt of the earth. You will say that, oh, the sun outside, there's no heat, there's no night. What you're saying is insulting the Creator, am I correct? When you say to yourself, oh, I'm no good, I can't be helped, I'm a failure, I'm not lovable, and no one wants me anymore, you are insulting the Lord God who lives in your heart. St. Teresa Avila said this, our Father who are in heaven, he said, Jesus, don't give such a big obligation to God the Father to adopt us as a son that make it hard for Him to deal with us. You know, St. Teresa Avila said, Jesus introduced us the Creator as our Father is actually obligating Jesus to love us forever and ever. St. Teresa Avila said, when you say, our Father who are in heaven, you are actually no praying. This is wrong. Our Father in heaven is not somewhere there. Our Father in heaven is why in your heart. Why are you there? The dwelling place is in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When we say that we are no good, we are not lovable, are you insulting the Lord God who lives in your heart? Am I correct? You know, in the olden time, the Chinese or anyone who have the king's letter and read, people need to kneel down. Am I correct? Your self-esteem is coming from Christ who lives in you. You are a dignified human, dignified person, because Christ lives in your heart. By incarnation, whatever happened to you, is related to Christ. By incarnation, whatever happened to the least one happened to Christ, related to Christ. So when you are upset, Christ is upset. When you're happy, Christ is happy. Never say to yourself, I'm no good. I'm not lovable. The only thing you can say is, I'm a sinner. Because this is the truth. When you say the truth will set you free. I am a sinner. God will love you with a compassionate love. Lord, I'm a sinner. That's all you can say. From now on, only word you can say to put yourself down is, I'm a sinner. For this is the truth. When you say, I'm not lovable, it's not true. Now, fully conscious of witnesses, but yet very confident in the goodness of God the Father. God is good to us. Whatever happened to you, happened by the will of God. If you consecrate yourself to God, whatever happened to you, happened by the will of God, says St. Patrick Peel. To whom shall you be afraid? If you try your best, God understands and loves you. There's nothing for you to fear, says Father Peel. So, depression has a few characteristics. What is a precursor of depression? There's no one cause. Technically speaking, people who are depressed have some kind of baseline problem. Number one, early loss of parents. Loss through death or divorce or separation. Early loss. Second, lacking of nutrient nurturance from parents. Third, conflicting style of communication from parents are the three major precursors of depression. Now, these are the basic ones. On top of it can be loss of job, loss of relationship, loss of loved ones to trigger it. But majority of them, the precursor is marital or relationship conflict. 50% of people who come for counseling and therapy for depression has relationship conflict. 50%. High, isn't it? 50% of people who have marital problem have the partner or someone in the family who are depressed. So depression is related to relationship very strongly. Have an interpersonal context to it, isn't it? I repeat. Precursor of depression, the first three one is parental loss, early parental loss, loss of relationship, separation, divorce, or death. Death is less. Second is lack of nurturing relationship. Why is that? Because parental abuse, parental self-indulgence, gambling, sex, drinking. These are the parental problems because they are seen as true. They have original sin. So another one will be communication styles of parents. So that make the person more vulnerable. This is research. I have two friends who work in rehab. One work in a hospital with sometimes they have 50 to 100 grief and loss counseling going on at the same time, big hospital. I asked both of them, who are more likely to be depressed? The one in the rehab, the one in the grief and loss department in the hospital, say the same thing to me. I will look at their childhood history, the parents. If they have very good parent, love, discipline, well-balanced, then I don't have to spend too much time with them. Even though they lost their limb and eyes, they have a resilience to bounce back. The man working in the hospital said, even though they know they have cancer, I die in 2-3 months. If I know that before 18, 21, they have very good parental support. Parents are very good for them, loving them, guiding them, have well-disciplined boundaries for them. Then they are looking forward to see their parents, even though they have no religion. They spend less time in the hospital. We spend less time with them, they have very resilience. They're just like having a seatbelt on their chest. So parental guidance is very, very important. What about if I didn't have? Then you have to find someone else to balance that now. A priest or friends. Now, relationship is very important. So sometimes, and also depression is caused by many, many factors. Some more. Normal people who are depressed have a lot of self-criticism, criticizing themselves. They repeat the word their parents say to them. You're no good, you're nothing, all this word. So sometimes people who are depressed who have a lot of complaint, they complain to other people. But when they complain, they get reinforcement. Oh yeah, they get attention. And they complain. See? So people have more of the punishment from others. For example, husbands who keep gambling, criticizing them, repeated ongoing punishment from others. These are the excesses. Another factor will be negative behaviors to others. So when you're negative, people run away from you. They see you as aversive, isn't it? They don't see you. So for excess, number one is too much self-criticism, too much complaint, too much negative behavior to others, and then too much ongoing punishment from others. So if your family friends have these four, you have to stop it. For example, a man, a woman who are so depressed because her husband keeps abusing her, get drunk, take her money away from children. So when she see me, I said, you have to report to police. The son, 14 years old, very short, seeing all this conflict. I said, Chef, don't be afraid. They put you in refuge. Oh, my husband will kill me. No, he will not kill you. Report police. After report police, he's like a lamb. Yeah, very fearful. The man who is aggressive normally are very fearful. The fear caused them to be aggressive. In six months' time, I saw the son go up like this. Because stress, cortisol, suppress our physical goal. 6 months not seeing the father abusing the mother, boom! Shoot up. I said, what happened? Just 6 months. I see the boy going each week, you see? Now, what is deficit? Normally, people who are depressed are deficit in social skills. Social skill deficit. They don't know how to talk. Lacking assertiveness, either aggressive or not don't know how to say things. Tell me, what is lacking? People are depressed. Normally lacking what? Lacking confidence, that's right. Lacking confidence, lacking problem-solving skills, normally. What else lacking?
Rationality.
Lacking rationality, lacking thinking pattern, that's right. Lacking reward, self-reward. They know how to reward themselves. They feel guilty for taking a break. Especially mother, they keep serving. Now they stop serving, the son not coming home, they feel depressed. When you come home, you have the mother need to feed you, isn't it? The empty nest syndrome is coming from the mother normally. The mother feels depressed because she cannot help you anymore. Because her self-reward is seeing children. Children not coming home, she feels depressed, isn't it? What else? Deficit in receiving reward from the environment. The husband never praised him. Never praise her. You see that? Women get depressed. Oh, I'm just a housewife. No, you are very important. I'm just a housewife. No. You are not just a housewife. So a lot of culture, they don't value women working at home. So women have no reward. So the husband is the only one praising her, only feedback. The husband is not giving. Of course, you get depressed, isn't it? Any more deficit?
Motivation.
Yeah, motivation. Now, normally, depression have some signals. If you have more than 2 weeks having foreign symptoms, you are depressed. Called major depressive disorder, MDD. MDD is classified as having five more the foreign symptoms. Number one, lacking motivation to do things pleasurable for you. Lacking cognitive functioning, concentration, indecisiveness. Biologically, disturbances. Cannot sleep very well, broken sleep. And also psychomotor vegetation, cannot move very well, very slow. And also lacking appetite, sometimes eating more, or lacking, put on weight or reducing weight, and then these are the symptoms. Depressed mood, feeling guilty, unworthiness, and also feeling disconnected from others, from God. If you have five symptoms, what I mentioned, over 2 weeks, we classify as MDD, major depressive disorder. Otherwise, it's not. But a lot of major depressive disorder are coexisting with other disorders. High comorbidity with other disorders like phobia, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Post-traumatic stress disorder can be one-off, type 1, earthquake, car accident, you know, or can be type 2, ongoing of human nature. For example, husband abuse the wife, ongoing, or relationship abuse, ongoing, is type 2. Or type 3, type 3 is something you witness. Or the son see the father and mother fighting all the time, they have type 3. Make sense to you? So depression is always related to phobia, general anxiety disorder, worrying, and also substance abuse, gambling, you know, all these issues. Making sense? Now, to talk about depression, we have a lot to talk about. Now, generally, some study done whether drugs is effective. Drugs can be effective. You know placebo. You know what's placebo? Placebo is like a sugar pill without any drug effect. So in any medications, heart, high pressure, cholesterol, the average placebo effect is 38 to 42. You give a sugar pill to a person, oh, this drug will help you. 38 to 42% people just get better because of the sugar pill. Yeah, I'm not joking. You know what is the effective way of depression drug? Effective way. Not response way. It's 53%, 52%. Just a few percent more. It will take 3 to 4 weeks to work because it will stop in liver overflow. So, cognitive therapy in major universities, many major universities, cognitive therapy is talking about thought pattern. You know what success way? 75%. Now, can cognitive therapy combine with drug use? Yes. With drug, only 53%. But with cognitive therapy, with 85%. So drug combined with cognitive therapy increased 85%. If you use drug alone, after drug stop, relapse rate is tremendously high, especially anxiety, because a drug to cover anxiety is very, very effective. When you're anxious, sometimes we ask the doctor to remove the drug so that we can treat with the symptoms. Because otherwise, taking a drug, no, I'm very calm. But the problem does not change. How do we know? 2 years ago, they got research on the BDNF. BDNF is a brain-derived neurotrophic factors, which is about the wiring. No, if you have a lot of coping skills, but you are depressed, not seeing people, withdrawn, after a couple of weeks, couple of months, all the BDNF, the wiring, reduce because it becomes toxic. So when you go out, you feel fearful. You don't know what to do. Your decision-making muscle is not there, a bit loose. We call BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factors, the wiring. But we know that drug can never restore the wiring. So when the drug stops, go back to the same old symptom. But in a recent research in 2014, in December, they found that give people three things: exercise, mental stimulation, and interpersonal relationship. These three things. 4 to 8 weeks later, people start to BDNF going, which is similar to 4 to 8 weeks of drug. Now, this does not mean that you get rid of the drug. When people take the medications, it helps them to do these three things: exercise, mental stimulation, learning something new, and also interpersonal relationships improve. That would help them to sustain the change. Got it? So if you got someone who is depressed, help them to sleep. To help them to sleep, you have to take them out to walk. Because without sunlight, people cannot sleep very well. I have sunlight here. Is that true? I have sunlight here. I enjoy some sunlight. Okay, I got some vitamin D here. Is that true? Not true. Vitamin D will not go through the glasses. Vitamin D will not, is 297 nm. It will not penetrate the glass. You have exposed outside, direct sunlight. Each part of our skin, even fingernail, have receptor site, vitamin D receptor site. So it's tremendously important. One doctor, Michael Hollick, he advocated vitamin D. He did research. He found that in America, those cities saw most sunscreen lotion has more depression and more cancer. He said that sunscreen lotion is not too good for health. And people banned him from practice. But now he's a hero. So you need vitamin D. How much? On the winter time, you have to take 2 to 3 tablets per day. Because Dr. John Cornell in hospital, mental health hospital, in that hospital, he gave 3 vitamin D per person. But in that hospital that year, there's a flu. Everybody got flu. But only his ward has no flu. And people said, how come John, Dr. John, how come your ward has no flu in a board meeting? Oh, because I give my patients 3 vitamin D per day. Then put in medical journal. Vitamin D is good for immunity systems. It's true. Especially winter time, people in Northern Europe, they have no sun, they got depressed. Because the light can give you a good mood. And when I was in uni, we put, it's a drug company helping to fund the research. We put a plastic, back plastic, on top of the neck of the chicken for about 2-3 weeks. The chicken looked very, very depressed. After we moved the plastic paper, the chicken alive. So we need sunlight in the daytime. However, now you need direct sunlight. You need 40% of the body exposed under the sun for 50 minutes per day, minimum. 40%. Now the face is 9%. The back is 18%. Front 80%. The leg, longer, is 36%. But on a weekend, you have 1 or 2 hours, you can accumulate for a few weeks.
Is that how
it's like a bank? Yeah, like bank, we serve. Now, now, a lot of, now, meal got vitamin D, salmon, fish got vitamin D, vegetables, you know, a lot of things got vitamin D. Mushroom got vitamin D, especially the brown, no, chicken, no. Especially the brown mushrooms. The brown mushroom, they have the UV light exposed under UV light, they have more vitamin D. So meal got vitamin D. But on the safe side, take 3 tablets. Will I get overdose? Never. People take 10 per day, 4 months later, they may get overdose. 10 per day, 4 months later. But the group with sunlight, not even one person overdose. So Medicare will not pay for vitamin D examinations now, because they say it's for therapeutic use, not for curiosity. So no one get overdose since you take it. You got it? It's important to take it. 3 per day. What it does is help you to sleep longer, prolong your sleep. Sometimes people are depressed, you have to help them to sleep. How? Sunlight, walking, burn the energy, they can sleep. How? Because our body got an enzyme called CTM enzyme, which is spreading on the skin, like a battery pack. When you sleep, it will charge a battery. 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours. So the bigger it is, the more energy you release, the longer you can sleep. You will sleep for 4 hours, 5 hours, wake up, that means your battery is too small. Can I get bigger? Yes. Only 2 ways. You exercise, you sweat, and sunlight. What about taking sleeping pill? No, bad for you. Why? Because when you sleep, people take sleeping pill, the eye movement. In UK, people PTSD, like after car accident, they cannot sleep. Give them sleeping pill to sleep. They sleep very well. But the trauma lasts for a few years, not go away. They found that the eye is not moving. When you sleep, move your eyes, it's erased on the whiteboard. So when you don't have enough sleep, you got more space occupied. You got no memory. You got memory bank is almost full. Suppose you got 30 gig. You never waste it. Never waste it. So it's always full. How do we get always full? Your emotions. The higher the emotion related to the memory, the more gigabyte occupy your space. What emotions? Playing video game. High emotion. Occupy more space. After playing video game, no space for you for learning. I can sleep, but you take longer time to raise those emotionally charged memories. Now, you know our body detox, isn't it? Detox in four ways. Urinate, go to big business, also sweating, also running. But our brain also detox. How do our brain detox? No one knows. No one knows how our brain can detox, except 2013 and in December. In October, they found out how our brain detox. Our brain detox when you sleep. Only when you sleep. Only when your eyes is closed and you find very safe. Because it's a very intensified energy process. What it does is, you got beta amyloid. You know what's beta amyloid? It's like a plaque of the tooth. The plaque. The waste. The waste will be going on your brain. When you sleep, it will draw the water from the body system. And then, like a drip, take away those beta amyloid. Food blubbing barrier to the liver for removal. So now they know that four things is important. Number one, sleep. Number two, water. Number three, exercise. Number four, vitamin D. This is what we know. Without vitamin D, no detox. Without enough sleep, no detox. Without enough water, no detox. Oh, I drink a lot of water before I sleep. Wrong. You don't drink water 3 hours before you sleep. Otherwise, you go to the toilet. After each toilet you go, it will not go deep sleep. No, empty your bowel before I go to the toilet. Technically, when you go to the toilet too often in the middle of the night, it's not very healthy. Either you drink too much water before you sleep. You drink water in the daytime. Do not drink caffeinated products, especially your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Yeah. Now, when you can sleep, it's okay. But WHO, UN, said after 4 p.m., no tea and coffee. Green tea has more caffeine than coffee. Oh, yeah, green tea. After 4 p.m., no green tea. Now, for those older people, they cannot sleep. In America, people who have sleeping problem, they remove the first cup of coffee in the morning. They can sleep. Oh, how come? Impossible. Because caffeine only lasts for 6 hours, 5 hours. How come in this study, they remove the first cup of coffee? They can sleep. They found something very interesting. Because you sleep because of magnesium. Without magnesium, you cannot sustain your sleep. Why magnesium? Magnesium is in the liver, in the kidney. When you drink coffee, it will drain magnesium, make you more alert. So the more you drink, the more anxious you feel. When you have an anxiety problem, don't drink coffee. Make you drain the magnesium. How do I know I have less magnesium? When you, at the night time, some sound, ringing. Number two, you press your body, painful. It's lacking magnesium. Now, can I measure magnesium? No blood test can give you accurate measure of magnesium. Because magnesium is spread over all the body, not in the blood. Number three, for women's menstrual cycle, painful, not accurate. It's a sign. Number four, when you go to the toilet, cannot go to the toilet, even if you have a lot of fibers. It's not relaxing you. And then when you sleep, wake up, cannot go back to sleep. These are the normal five indicators. So how do I get magnesium? Eat more green stuff. Because vegetables contain a lot of magnesium. But my mom eat a lot, but your mom is over 40 and 50. The ability to divide magnesium is far less than you. So your mom cannot sleep, need to take her out to walk, sweat, sunlight, water, and take some magnesium tablet, one or two. When I get overdose, no. You get overdose when you have diarrhea, like go to the toilet 3 times a day, then you stop. 2 days later, go back to normal. Got it? So magnesium is very safe. Making sense to you? So sleep is very important. Yeah.
At the beginning of your talk,
yeah.
You had said that part of the way people are emotionally and spiritually healed is by asking, by giving gratitude. One of the things as Catholics, we know that all the suffering that we endure, or all the suffering that's caused, God can bring a greater goodness out of it. But for a person who's depressed, it's really hard to be grateful, especially if they've experienced some kind of trauma when they So how can a person get to a point of gratitude so they can then experience more healing?
Yeah, very, very good question. There's a difference between I was asked to go to a Federation of Asian Bishop Conference to give a talk to those Asian bishops about different topics. And then one particular bishop asked me the same question. How do you decide whether depression is clinical or decide that night or so? That's very interesting questions. Now, generally, depression will restrict our personality, confine, limit our personality and humanity. If it is a suffering with redemptive value, you will not have these characteristics. It will only expand your humanity. May you understand other people more. You look at Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa have never experienced the presence of God in her life, in her prayer, over 36 years. But whoever sees Mother Teresa can see that God is speaking to her through you. Whoever sees her, her word ring in your ear. First time I met Mother Teresa was in 1981. The word she said is still ringing in my ear. That has such a power in you. Yeah? So I remember a priest, who Indian priest, who said to me, one day Mother Teresa walked into the sacristy. That was at least 40 years ago. Talked to this priest. He still remember. He said, "Father, when you put the water in the chalice, could you remember me?" Mother Teresa is very, very powerful. This is what Mother Teresa said. She said, "Each moment you spend with Christ is going to make you everlastingly more glorious and beautiful in heaven and bring about lasting peace on earth." Beautiful, isn't it? Now, spending time with Jesus is prayer. To Mother Teresa is spending time with the least one. In Calcutta, in a convent, in the convent, on right on top of the tomb, there's a word saying, "Vaidhi Thor." It's a marble. The word on this left side is, "You did it to me." Very powerful. You walk in, "You did it to me." Everybody kneeling down in front of Mother Teresa's marble coffin, her presence. Fulton Sheen said this beautifully. He said that when you suffer and whenever you pray, there's a cloud of unknowing way above your head. The cloud is going to absorb the moisture from you, just like the cloud absorbs water from the sea. It will take up the moisture, take up the suffering, what you offer, and transport you somewhere to rain. It can rain to your future self, it can rain to a family member, or rain to someone you do not know. St. Teresa said, "Someone must be praying for me, whom I do not know. Only in heaven I know who is this person praying for me." St. Faustina said this, "When I'm in heaven, people will come to see me. Oh, because of your prayer, you helped me. Oh, I never know you. Oh, because of your prayer, I come to heaven first because of you. Oh, because God used your prayer on that day to benefit me." The best gift we can give to people is not just good health. It's not just good academic result and good job, good wife and husband. This is important, but not the best. The very best gift God gives to us is union with God. Our basic vocation in life is to respond to God the Father's call, to be united with Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Whether you become a priest or nun, single life, married life, is a variation of this very basic call, to be holy. To be holy is your call. One day, Thomas Aquinas' sister asked her, "Brother, how can I be a saint?" If your sister and brother ask you, "Brother, sister, how can I be a saint?" you are already a saint. This is what Thomas Aquinas answered his sister. He said, "To be a saint, you must will it, you must desire. This is consistent with St. Teresa. Your desire to love God, your hunger for God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Who is righteous? God is righteous. That means whoever hunger and thirst for God, they will be fulfilled. God, I'm yearning for you, I'm looking for you. It's your desire which matters. St. Teresa never leave her convent, but she is a missionary. Patron saint for missionaries, as St. Francis Xavier. Wherever you go, you see St. Teresa. In China, everywhere. India, all the faith St. Teresa. It's your desire to love God which matters. Now, I give you one of the best quote I received from St. Teresa, from the letters. She said, I don't need to pray to draw this person or that person to you, O Lord. I only let myself be drawn by the fire of your love. Everybody that I love will follow my train, my steps, to be drawn to you. So God is looking for all your transformation. When you are transformed, your family and those loved ones in your heart will be transformed. Even your granduncle, great-granduncle who passed away, your transformation now is going to help him to be transformed and go to heaven. So your transformation will transform everybody that you love. She said, without effort, without constraints. This is my experience. Your transformation is important. So St. Teresa said, deep, intense personal prayer is very, very apostolic. So each moment you spend with Christ is going to make you everlastingly more glorious and beautiful in heaven and bring about lasting peace on earth. So now, if someone who is depressed, I can't help, you pray. God always answers prayers. Not answer in your way. I remember that woman, she got 4 children. 2 gay, 2 lesbian. She died around 2001. And I explained this to her. I said, look, God will answer your prayer. She said, I'm going to die. I got cancer. My son and children, they all left the church. If God will answer your prayer, maybe in heaven when you see it. You put all your trust in God. Then she passed away. Now, full divine providence, I saw 4 of her son and children stop what they believe is wrong. And 3 went back to the church in the past 16 years. Just in front of my eyes. Sometimes we can't see what we pray, but God is going to answer your prayer for sure. Because God is love. God loved you. God loved those people whom you love more than you do. This is God. I always ask seminarians this question. I think some of you may have experienced this question. I ask, when St. Peter asks you, why should I let you in heaven? What's your response to St. Peter? Over the years, I heard very beautiful answers. Some said, oh Lord, you know me. You know how much I love you. You know I fail. it's no mercy. One day I was in a Trappist monastery, and then I was invited to be in the chapter, general chapter inside the monastery. So one of the monks in America, he said one word. All the monks keep quiet for about at least 10 minutes. I was looking around. The monk said, without God's mercy, none of us will be sitting here until now. He said, they're all the nuns very confident. Yeah, look around. I still remember this word. Without God's love and mercy, none of us will be sitting here now. He looked around. And I'm the only person looking. So all the monks bowed their head down. I think it's very true. It's God's love and mercy. Now, let me give you one of the good answers. I was very touched by this answer. And this man said, St. Peter, if you do not let me go to heaven, God the Father will miss me more than I miss him. Oh, wow. Is it good?
Yes.
Is it good? Yeah, it's true, isn't it? I miss my son more than my son missed me. My son just come back from Melbourne. And then he thought, Father, can you take me from the airport? I know I'm going to retreat. 1 week, he didn't call me back. Didn't call me. And I'm in the airport. Can't go. No, I'm going to retreat. Take a retreat today. But sometimes, me too, I don't think about my father. My father thinks about me a lot. Same as you, isn't it? So God the Father loved me more than love him. Because he's love. He's right there with us. How love is his dwelling place, Almighty God. And Mary is in the midst of Trinity. I see Mary is right there. I said, you can't go wrong. I said, look, I got a Superman there. Superwoman there, isn't it? So so when the Mass, during Mass, sometimes a prayer, I'll address the Father, address the Son, Holy Spirit. Sometimes I lost my track. People stand up, I forgot to stand up because I lost. Makes sense too? Sometimes my wife said, stand up. Yeah, I was lost in the Mass. Because sometimes the prayer of the Mass go to the Father, go to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. And then some Mary there, I was just in the midst of the Trinity. The mystical experience to me. So, now, I speak too much. I don't want to go too much often.
That was John Pern with Depression and Anxiety. This presentation was part of the Finding Your Calcutta 2016 retreat organized by St. Rathke Youth. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.